And we've got the lovely Karen Lister with us today.
Hello.
Who's come in rubbing her hands together and saying, what is this crazy weather?
It is crazy.
We're supposed to be talking about springtime today and about putting your property on the market, and it's like we've stepped back in time.
Yeah, it is.
Well, last week the blossoms came out in my blossom tree. And everything started sprouting. It's and it's springtime. But now
and all the daffodils are out. Yeah. Now it's supposed to snow above 1,200 metres.
So what happens to the plants now?
So they're
now
predicting snow.
Well, as I was sitting out waiting for you guys, yeah. Above 1,200 metres, perhaps Monday through to Wednesday.
Mm. Wow. So anyway. As long as it doesn't do it this afternoon, I can't, because my husband and I are both up here today and we have to get back down the mountain for our children, so that wouldn't be good.
Oh, yeah. So what's 1,200? I actually don't know.
Blackheath.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. We had a bit of snow
at the top of the mountain this
there
winter.
There was a few flurries. Was it Friday or Saturday? That was Friday. Friday was. Must have been Friday.
I was in Sunny Gold Coast.
I don't know. They all blend into one.
So why does everybody? I mean, is there an obvious reason why everybody wants to sell in springtime?
I don't know. Maybe it's because when the weather starts getting warm, we all get a little motivated and. Perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, like
I think it's a perception because I think, winter, I mean, have a look at today's day. It's gloomy and it depends. Like if you wanted to buy a mountains cottage, I would have thought winter was a perfect time.
Look, I'm not an agent that goes out there and says list in spring. Not at all. I think we've had this discussion before. You list when you're ready to list.
Yeah.
And that was why, I was sort of talking about people say to me, well, I need to sell before I buy. And that's a really tricky sort of thing. Yeah. So here we come into spring and they've got to sell before they buy and they start looking and just starts this whole sort of roll-on effect. Mm. And, I always suggest to people, and you probably would too, Peter, they need to, sell before they buy. But so don't look. Don't start looking. Don't fall in love with something. Start the process.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's interesting once you start. It's quite a stressful thing to sit and they say, well, I don't want to list because I haven't got anything to move to.
It's a real
chicken and egg thing.
It is a real catch 22. And I think that, bridging finance is always an option, but I find that 9 out of 10 people actually don't qualify for bridging finance because it's quite strict. Mm.
What do people do? They just have to time it. I've always wondered this, to be honest.
Well, you need to be. I think you need to be smart. You need to have had your conversations with all of the parties. If you need finance, speak with your financer, speak with your agent, and in particular with your conveyancers or solicitors because you've really got to have that open communication.
People are moving all the time, right? They're selling their houses and they're moving all the time.
Yep.
So, do you find a place and then they're like...
No, because it won't be there.
Right.
So I find... And it is quite a stressful thing for people because, it's quite scary to think, well, my house is going to sell and I've got nowhere to go. But if you are a person, and let's face it, most of us can't afford to buy before we sell. And so I find, the universe almost just looks after that. They start the process and perhaps it's a mindset that changes in their head. They start the process, a buyer will come along and then they'll start seriously looking and they'll find something. And as you know, we can always play with settlement dates and you can juggle around a little bit. Yeah. And so it all tends to work out in the end.
They're the communication things that I was sort of referring to. Make sure that everybody's aware of what you're doing, because I've had people that have been looking and then they find something, like you say, they find the forever home and then you say, well, you've got to sell your house. But then they say, oh, but we've got to paint and we need to get a gardener in to tidy up the lawns. And you think, see, they're all the things that you should have done before you started looking. Like, I get the fact that you want to be, what am I going to get for my money?
I hear what you're saying, but there'd be people who probably stumble across it too, like find their forever home and think, and they want to go for it. And then they think, we could sell. And then they realise it's going to make it hard for them.
Well, what also happens is that they find their forever home, they exchange on it perhaps, and that then puts the pressure on to sell. So perhaps, depending what the market's doing, they...
I had a client just recently who did that, exactly that, Andrea. They went out on a Sunday and they'd
happy
been talking...
Happy Sunday driving.
They'd been chatting with me throughout the weeks leading up to that about potentially speaking with someone about buying an investment property. This is where their thoughts were. And Monday morning I got an email saying, oh my goodness, what have we just done? Mm-hmm. We signed contracts yesterday on acreage.
Oh dear.
And they had to sell their house. Now fortunately they had negotiated a longer settlement term, which enabled them, but they had the risk became their entire risk.
That's
because
right.
We were able to draw some money from their existing portfolio for them to put down their 10% deposit, but the risk is all theirs. If mm-hmm. they don't sell their house by the time settlement on their new house has come about, and then they were playing around with, oh, we got this offer and that offer, and I'm thinking, people, you yeah. don't, time is not a luxury for you right no. now. If you've got buyers, take what you're being offered and move on.
Well, that's the pressure you put yourself under, isn't is having it? To accept an offer that perhaps isn't as high as what you had hoped, but, you know,
you've
the choice.
You've put yourself in that position.
Right. Yeah,
and absolutely. You need to accept that because in my view, you know, you're better off losing, you know, your 10% deposit than losing
for sure.
You know, much more than that. So, yeah. Or, you know, 10,000, it should have been the other way around, $10,000 in a less of a sale price than losing your 10% deposit that you're going to lose if you don't meet your contractual
well,
rights.
Once again, it links, you know, it comes back to that. You know, frequently we see where we put a house on the market, we get a great offer in the first week, and it's like, oh, we must have put on too cheap. But that isn't the case at no. all. It's that's the buyer. The buyer's yep. there, take them in that first couple of weeks. That's yep. historically, it really
so
is when you get your best
what kind
offer.
What of conversations do you have to have with people when that happens? Because you must hear
with
that
vendors?
A lot. Yeah.
Look.
You think that they've not put the right price on.
I think it comes back to even having conversations before that at listing point. You know, right. when you're signing mm-hmm. your agency agreement, you're deciding on what price you're going to put something to market at. Yeah, I would much rather have those tough discussions then and there. And I do, you know, I warn them that that is normally when they're going to get the best offer. Mm. It's when they, you know, you can't get an offer and then, oh, well, we'll sit and think about it for a few days. Mm. You know, the buyer wants to lock it in. They want to move on. So, yeah, I think they need to be very clear on what they're prepared to accept, what they want, what's the timeline, right from the word go, when they're first listing the property.
Yeah. And I guess, is it part of your process that you're having those conversations with people when they're listing their property? What's their big plan?
Absolutely.
Are you relocating in this area? Mm. What are you doing? So you've got an understanding of the timelines
you've
got, that you've got to meet.
Just
and
exactly. If you know that they're happy to, say, rent back, which it very often happens.
Yep.
If I know all those things and a buyer comes in and says, well, I'm selling but I haven't sold yet, you know, I can say, well, that's fine. We can extend that out. We can bring that in. You know, there are times where you might make a contract shorter that you're selling because you've already bought something where
yep.
you've got an extended settlement, you know, mm-hmm. and you can play with those things as long as everybody is transparent.
Yeah.
So as long as you're communicating, there's always an out. There's
yeah.
always a way.
And I know. Suppose it's, you know, chatting to someone like yourself whereby you might get some ideas on have you considered that this particular property you might be able to rent it back or is there a family member that you can go and live with for mm-hmm. a short term? Have you, you know, just at that third person to have the conversation that maybe you haven't considered that yourself.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, when somebody does put an offer in with something, I always say, well, any conditions to that? And they might say, well, we have to settle by this time or we, you know, we would like to do this or, and rarely does it implode where it doesn't
yeah.
go pretty smoothly for every party.
Yeah.
We can juggle a lot behind the scenes
yes.
when we know
yes.
what people need
yeah.
and what they expect.
Yeah. Well, again, that's where I sort of say, like, you really need to keep all the people, all of your people in the loop because that's what can be
yeah.
the undoing. And there's ways and means around everything, like you say. And I always say to my clients that you never know what position – your buyer or that's your right. vendors in. Mm. So open up the lines of communication, and you might find that they've got all the time in the world. And
exactly. It always comes back to communication, doesn't it?
It does.
Doesn't it?
And it also depends how big the domino is. You know,
correct.
Yes. It can be very long.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else has bought and sold and bought and sold.
Yeah. And therefore, you've just got a standing line.
There's very little flexibility then. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. You know, so
you're such an expert, Miss Karen. If people want to find out more information, they can contact you.
They can. They can give me a call on 0414 470 230.
Or they can visit you at umirealestate.com.au.
Most definitely.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Karen.
Thank you.